morning or evening, everybody. Let me just share my screen. And since we don't have a ton of time, I'll go through this pretty quickly. So make sure to ask questions if there is anything that is unclear. You can all see my screen, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So I am just going to go through my sort of rules for founders, especially, but for early stage marketing teams. So first and foremost, you need to be absolutely obsessed with your buyer. So that means learning everything you possibly can about them, knowing what matters to them. But the biggest thing is actually to stop making assumptions. Oftentimes when you're a founder, you're solving a problem that you had. And so you assume that you know everything there is to know about your buyer. And it turns out you really don't. Your buyers can be very different from you, and your ideal buyers are going to change as you grow. So make sure that you make buyer research literally part of everything you do. Make sure you're talking to your buyers, making sure you're talking to the people who wind up not buying from you as well. This is key. And I like to refer to this as relationship building at scale. So genuinely build relationships with your ideal customers, Second, you need to actually care about marketing. Oftentimes you might, if you're a founder, you might be a technical founder and you might care a lot more about product and you kind of just don't think about marketing, and maybe you don't really think about sales. You hire someone else to do it. But culture is a top-down thing. And if you don't show your team from the jump that you really give a damn about marketing and that you're doing the work to learn what's going on, what you need, you are going to fall short throughout the whole thing. So you want to cultivate that marketing talent. And you also, if you have a marketing team of one, hire a coach. They need help. They need a sounding board. They need assistance. Hire a marketing coach that can really support them. Next, don't compete, dominate. So when it comes to content, don't do the same thing that everybody else is doing and like fingers crossed that you're going to raise above it. Instead, actually find a niche of content that no one's covering. So look at what all of your competitors are doing, look at what they have in common, and then find the angle or the approach to content that no one else is covering, and then dominate that. It's the thing that will set you apart, and it'll make your content kind of journey a whole lot easier and a whole lot more successful. So find your niche and own it. Okay, when it comes to marketing, especially early, you need to think 10x, not 10%. This can be hard for you perfectionists out there. Stop freaking out about every little typo. People don't really give a damn. Think about the big picture. Think about the things that are going to move the needle. Do big projects that have real potential. Don't worry about the small stuff because it's not going to get you to where you need to go. Focus on big things that have the potential to really make a difference to your lead gen, to your pipeline, all of that. So I refer to this as find your gang on the playground, but what I really mean is find your strategic partners. Look at your industry, find the companies that are, maybe they're solving a complementary problem to the one that you have. Maybe you can work together to kind of offer something that solves an even bigger problem together, and pool your resources. If they're another startup, they're going to want to team up with you so that you can maximize your resources and maximize your reach. So really invest in building co-marketing and strategic partnership relationships. And this one is especially for founders. You need to invest in your own personal brand. So your personal brand, you can build that personal brand far faster, and it can have far greater reach than your company brand in the early days. People want to buy from people that they trust. And if they see a founder whose content they love, who they admire, who they trust, they are a lot more likely to buy your product. Look at companies like Drift, like Gong. They have leadership teams that have been really out there, have built these really strong personal brands. And as a result, their growth has just been an absolute rocket ship. So just a couple things about me. Startup growth marketing coach, personal branding coach, also just launched a new personal branding community called Our Galaxy, ourgalaxy.co. So if you have questions about these things, hit me up and I'm more than happy to answer them after this as well. But let's dive into the questions now. So what should somebody starting a B2B company today absolutely focus on? WRTO marketing. I don't know what that means.
With respect to marketing.
Oh, okay. So I think it really depends on the product that you're selling and the industry that you're in. So again, this comes back to your buyer, right? You need to understand, where does your buyer hang out? What kinds of content do they consume? Where are they? And then create your strategy to be in front of them. Don't create the strategy and then go try to find them. It all starts with your buyer. This is the number one thing. Get obsessed with your buyer, and you want to learn absolutely everything about them. Creating the strategy to reach them is going to be so much easier once you do that. What does the marketing team look like for a B2B startup in the first 6 months? It's probably just one person, okay? You want to find someone who's in that sweet spot of able to do some strategy, but is still willing to do execution. I see early stage startups make two mistakes. One, they either have a C-level product person, a VP-level salesperson, and then a junior marketer, and they're surprised why their marketing sucks. Or they go out and they hire this really expensive strategic marketer who doesn't want to actually do the stuff, they just want to create the plan. You need to find that person in between. But like I said, find them a coach. You know, marketing has like 30 different disciplines. You cannot find an expert in all of them. So figure out for your buyer where you need to focus, and then find someone who can do that, but get them a coach so that they can get the support that they need to continue to grow. Oh, and I just answered that. In your experience, what are the most cost-effective channels ROI? Again, totally depends on your market. So if you're selling e-commerce, ads are going to be pretty critical. But if you're selling software, I would invest in things like, not right now, but live events, not trade shows, but hosting your own events, hosting things like webinars, doing a lot of lead gen there. So, I hate to say that, it depends for every single answer, but it really does. Look at your buyer and look at what matters most to them, and then focus on that first. What do you think of the era of marketing now? I think that when it comes to B2B, B2B is really learning from B2C. So we're seeing a lot more sort of conversational marketing. We're seeing a lot more actual influencer marketing in the B2B space. So there's a lot of, we're just seeing a lot of crossover there. So that means it's kind of fun. It means you can get really creative with what your marketing does and kind of where you focus. You can get really innovative. So what I would do is look across the board at some of the wilder things, the wilder campaigns that are going on. There are B2B companies that are doing incredible things with starting podcasts, with hosting virtual seminars like we're doing right now, teaming up with other businesses. The sky is kind of the limit, so get super creative. Inbound versus outbound, what's your pick for a B2B founder in the early days? Frankly, outbound. I know as a marketer, people would assume that I would say the other, but for B2B, reaching out to your customers and like going and finding them is gonna get you faster traction. But what you wanna do really quickly is start building your kind of marketing strategy to support that. So one thing to keep in mind, early stage marketing can support a bunch of other departments. So talk to your customer success team and figure out what are the struggles that new trial users are having, and can marketing create content that is both lead gen and also onboarding support? Marketing should also be supporting product in terms of getting the word out there, but also giving that buyer research and giving that research back to product. And then they should be creating content that helps fill pipeline. So make sure that marketing is supporting a bunch of other departments, and that's what's going to make your outbound a lot more successful and then get you really ready to launch inbound, because you're going to be building all of these things in the background. What do you recommend?
We can take up the next question. What does the marketing team look like? I think that's done, is it?
That's done.
Okay. What do you recommend a new startup to do first when it comes to launching?
So a couple of things. Email list is freaking everything. The bigger your email list, the more people you can sell to and the more you can learn from your buyers. So I would absolutely work on lead gen from the jump. Cold emailing directly, I would leave that to kind of your sales team to start out with, unless you're selling a really low cost thing and you don't have a sales team. So yeah, cold emailing can absolutely work, but don't do it in like a kind of a traditional marketing blast style. Instead, actually do it like a sales development sequence and do it in a more kind of sales style.
Okay. So what are the channels and means for that person to get his first 100 customers?
Again, I hate to say it. It really depends on your product. And I will also say there's a really great Facebook group called, Growth Hacks, like SaaS Growth Hacks. Mm-hmm. And you can always find founders in that group that have a similar product and can tell you things about what they've done with success. But again, this depends on who you think your ideal buyer is. And frankly, one of the things I would really recommend, do a ton of buyer research and customer discovery interviews so you really understand who your first 100 customers should be in the first place. Then going out and finding them is going to be a lot easier.
Right. So next is, what is the branding basics for a startup?
Branding basics. Okay, that's a super vague question. You want to have kind of you want people to be able to come to your website and understand what you do. So early on, have a halfway decent logo and really work on the copy on your website so that it's clear, so that somebody comes to your website and says, oh my God, that's for me. Again, I know I am really just ramming this point home. It comes from buyer research, from customer discovery, and really understanding your buyer. Figure out what are the words, what's the messaging that they need to see in order to look at something and be like, oh my God, that is speaking to me. That is for me. And then just keep it simple. Have a couple of simple color palettes, know your fonts, have the aesthetics down, and then really know how you talk about yourself. But again, can't stress enough, as a founder, you should be building your personal brand. I know you think you're probably a technical person and you're like, oh, I just wanted to be about the company. Your company will grow faster if people know and trust you. So also invest in how you want to be seen as a leader.
Right.
And that will help your company's marketing as well.
Amazing. So we have another question. Any tips to land influencers on our podcast when we are starting new?
Absolutely. Okay. So I love talking about this. So for the podcast, it all comes down to your pitch. So you want to send a super personalized email that is all about what are they going to get out of it. Also flatter them. We all have an ego. But the other thing that I think a ton of podcasts really overlook is you want to make sure that the system of signing up for your podcast is really easy. So I'll give you an example. If somebody reaches out to me and they want me to be on their podcast and I have to have like seven or eight emails back and forth of scheduling and telling them stuff and all of that, I will give up unless it's a really amazing podcast. Instead, what you want to do is create like an intake form. So you reach out to them, you pitch them. Once they say, yeah, I'm interested, you send them a form where they fill out all the information that you need from them in order to get them on the podcast and also then to promote the podcast once they've recorded it. At the end of that form, have the link where they can just go ahead and schedule it. It makes the whole process so much easier and it'll save a bunch of time. Plus it makes you look really professional and like you know what you're doing. And those bigger influencers are a lot more likely to be willing to do it.
Right. Next question we have from Prashant is, what are the must-dos and potential pitfalls to avoid while building a sales pipeline for B2B tech product?
Oh, okay. Well, the must-dos is you got to invest in some sales development like talent. So you need to really, really work on that messaging and really refine it. I'd say the number one don't do, and I see this all the time, frankly, especially from technical founders, is they think that they're going to sell their product in the first email. So they send this super long email that's like, all about how their product is amazing. You're not selling the product, you're selling a call to talk about the product. Right. So keep it really simple. And that's my biggest recommendation there.
Okay, so a big ticket B2B marketer doesn't trust paid marketing. They prefer organic content. Your views?
Well, yeah, so if you're selling a really expensive solution that's very consultative, people don't click on ads for that, but they might click on ads for content that is related to their role. And then you have them as a lead and you can nurture them from a marketing standpoint. So it doesn't mean that paid has no role, but no, you're not going to, no one's going to click on an ad and then buy your $100,000 deal right out of the gates. It's a much more complex process, but that means your marketing process has to be much more complex as well.
Right. So we'll take just, I think, one more question. Any tips for e-commerce in this situation?
So again, I think it really depends on the product that you're selling and the audience that you're selling to. When it comes to e-commerce, ads are going to play a really, really big role. So you need to figure out what is the kind of the right channel, but then also you need to A/B test the heck out of those ads and out of the copy so that you can start to narrow that down and start to really improve your strategy. Don't try to do this yourself if you are not an ad person. At the very beginning, at least get an expert who can really help you, who can teach you kind of the strategy and then take it on. But you will just waste a ton of money trying to figure it out yourself because ads can be extremely complicated.
Right, right. So thank you. Thank you, Casey, for all the answers. And thank you for joining. It was an amazing presentation. For everybody whose questions haven't been answered, we'll send you the responses. We'll send it to Casey and probably Casey can find some time to answer all your questions.
Yeah, absolutely. I would be happy to. And hit me up on LinkedIn or join our galaxy. And I'm also happy to answer there as well.
Also, Casey, if you have any checklists or any other, giveaways that you want to give, do send us the link and we'll post it for our attendees.
Okay, fabulous.
Amazing.
Thanks,
everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, hope you liked the recording. Do check us out at Amplus B2B Bench for 11 more killer content. Also, try out Amplus Sales Buddy if you want to ring that next customer who is waiting for a call.